This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Cocky Bastard, written by Penelope Ward and Vi Keeland, narrated by Michelle Ferguson and Aaron Abano.
To our husbands, the real cocky bastards. Chapter 1. I wondered if the vibration would feel good between my legs. The sun caught the chrome of a Harley Davidson parked a few spots over, gleaming in the sweltering midday sun. I waited until Maroon 5 finished playing on the radio, oddly fixated on the two-wheeled man toy as I fished in my purse for my cell phone. The motorcycle was simple, high gloss and shiny silver, worn leather saddlebags with a skull embossed below the initials CB. How good would it feel to ride? Wind blowing through my long hair, arms wrapped around a man with a tough-sounding nickname, engine purring beneath my jean-clad thighs. Horse. Drifter. Guns. Wait. No. Prez. My imaginary biker was most definitely called Prez. And he'd look just like Charlie Hunnam. I glanced down at my iPhone and found a half-dozen new messages from Harrison. Inwardly, I smirked. Certainly there's no one named Harrison that ever rode a Harley. Tossing my phone back in my bag, I cut the engine of my packed BMW and glanced behind me into the back seat. Boxes piled to the ceiling were beginning to make my full-size car feel claustrophobic. A bus full of travelers pulled into the rest stop. Great. I'd better go in now and get my lunch, otherwise I'd never get out of here. 10 hours into a cross-country trip from Chicago to Temecula, California, I was somewhere in the middle of Nebraska with about another 20-some-odd hours to go. After a 15-minute wait inside for Pepsi and Popeye's fried chicken bites that I planned to eat back in the car, I stopped into the small souvenir shop. I was so tired and didn't really feel like driving the additional 5 hours I had to go before finding a place to sleep for the night. Yawning, I decided to stall and browse for a few minutes. Checking out some trinkets, I eventually picked up a Barack Obama bobblehead and shook it mindlessly, watching its maniacal smile as the head bounced up and down. "Get it. You know you want it," a deep, raspy voice said from behind my shoulders. Startling me, it caused a knee-jerk reaction that resulted in the bobblehead slipping from my fingers and falling to the ground. The head broke off of the spring neck and rolled away. The woman at the register shouted, "I'm sorry, ma'am. You'll have to pay for that. $20. "Damn it," I spewed, following the path of the rolling head. As I bent down to pick it up, there was the voice again from behind me. "And to think, some people say he's got a good head on his shoulders." He seemed to have an Australian accent. "You think this is funny, asshole?" I asked before turning around and getting my first look at the man behind the voice. I froze. Oh, shit. "You don't need to be a fucking bitch about it." His mouth curved into a wicked grin as he handed me the bottom half of Obama. And for the record, I did think that was really funny, yes. I swallowed and seemed to lose my ability to speak as I took in the Adonis standing before me. I wanted to smack that cocky smile right off his face, though. His gorgeous, chiseled, scruffy face, framed by a thick head of copper-brown hair. Fuck me. This man was insanely hot, not someone I expected to come across out here. This was the middle of nowhere USA, not the Australian outback, for Christ's sake. I cleared my throat. "Well, I didn't think it was funny at all." "Then you need to take the stick out of your ass and lighten up." He reached out his hand. "Give it to me, princess. I'll pay for the damn thing." Before I could respond, he grabbed the two broken pieces from me, and I cursed at the shiver that ran down my spine from the brief contact of his hand brushing against mine. Of course, he had to smell amazing on top of it all. I followed him to the register as I fished through my messy purse for money, but he was too quick and had paid for it already. He handed me a plastic bag containing the broken bobblehead. There's some change in the bag. Buy yourself a sense of humor. Humor. That accent. My jaw dropped as he walked away and out of the store. What an ass. It was a fine one. A thick, juicy, round ass hugged tightly by his jeans. God, I really needed to get laid, because it didn't seem to matter that this guy had just insulted me to my face. My panties were practically wet. After several minutes of staring into space at a shelf of Nebraska Cornhuskers t-shirts, I gave myself a mental kick in the butt. My reaction to the incident proved that fatigue had gotten the best of me. I usually wasn't that short-tempered. It was time to shake off the bizarre encounter and get moving. My stomach was growling, and I was looking forward to breaking into the fried chicken once I hit the road. I snuck a piece out of the box in my bag as I walked out of the building. My chewing ceased when I noticed him, two spots down from my car, sitting on the very motorcycle I'd been fantasizing about earlier. Approaching slowly, I hoped he didn't notice me. No such luck. Instead, when he spotted me, he flashed an exaggerated smile and waved. Frantically searching for my keys, I rolled my eyes and muttered, "You again." He snickered. "Did you end up buying a sense of humor?" I used the change to buy you some couth instead. Chuckling, he shook his head at me. Running his hand through his hair, he put his shiny black helmet on and cranked the Harley. The rumble shook me to my core. Getting in the car and slamming the door, I couldn't help taking one last look over at him, seeing as though I'd never see this guy again in my lifetime. He winked through the helmet, and my pathetic heart fluttered. I watched through the rearview mirror as he backed out of the spot. I expected him to take off like a bat out of hell, but after moving away slowly, he abruptly stopped. He kept trying to rev the bike to get it to move, but nothing was happening. Eventually turning off the engine, he removed his helmet and ran his hand through his hair in frustration before getting off to inspect things. I should have just left, but couldn't take my eyes off him as he struggled to get it to run. Man, that sucks. I dipped one of the chicken bites into the honey mustard sauce and popped it into my mouth, continuing to watch this like a spectator sport for several minutes. At one point, he took out his phone and made a phone call as he paced back and forth. Putting his phone away, he looked in my direction and glared at me. Caught in the act of watching him, I let out a nervous laugh. I didn't mean to laugh at the situation, but it just came out. He raised his brow, and that made me cackle harder. He slowly walked towards me, clutching the helmet by his side. He knocked on my window, and I lowered it. "You think this is funny, princess?" "Not really."
"Maybe,"
I snorted. "Well, I'm glad you finally managed to find your sense of humor." Humor. God, his accent was sexy. He arched his neck to look into the back seat and took notice of all the boxes. "You homeless or something? Living out of your car?" "No, I'm in the middle of a cross-country move." "Where you headed?"
"Temecula."
"California," he nodded.
"Me too."
I looked toward his Harley. "Well, it looks like you're not exactly headed anywhere anytime soon. I guess it's payback for calling me a bitch." "Well, that would seem to be the case."
"That it's payback?"
"No, that you're a bitch."
"Very funny.
You know what's even better than payback?" he asked, leaning into the window, his cologne intoxicating me.
"What?"
He wiggled his brows.
"Karma."
"What are you talking about? Come around and have a look at the back of your Beamer."
"Beamer."
I got out and walked around to the back of my car to find my right rear tire was completely flat.
"What? This cannot be happening."
With my hand on my forehead, I looked over at his smug expression. "Are you kidding me? Did you know my tire was flat all this time?" I noticed it right around the time I caught you popping chicken and laughing at me, yes. It was real hard for me to keep a straight face at that point. I didn't know how to change a tire to save my life. I couldn't believe what I was about to ask of him. Do you know how to change a tire? Of course I do. What kind of a man would I be if I didn't know how to change a tire? Will you help me? I know you have no reason to want to, after our little altercation, but I'm seriously desperate. I don't want to be stuck out here all alone at night. Let me ask you a question. Okay? He rubbed the scruff of his chin. How badly do you want your tire changed? I backed away from him. What exactly are you getting at? Get your mind out of the gutter, sweetheart. I'm not fucking propositioning you, if that's what you think. You're not my type. And what exactly is your type? I typically go for women who don't have the personality of a doorknob. Thanks. My pleasure. So, what are your conditions? Well, as you clearly know from your laughing fit, my Harley is experiencing a technical malfunction at the moment. It needs a part that I don't have. I just called a tow company. But I'm on a deadline, and, like you, I need to get to California. You're not suggesting. Yes. Yes, I am. If I change your tire, you let me ride with you. Ride with me? Ride me, yes. What did you just say? You're hearing things. I shook my head to rid the images now flashing through it. Did my tired mind only imagine that he just said that, or was he messing with me? I cannot drive hundreds of miles with a total stranger, I said. It's a fuck of a lot safer than driving alone. Not if you're a serial killer. Look who's talking. You're the one who's decapitated a U.S. president. I couldn't help but laugh. This situation was seriously insane. Holy shit, princess, is that a laugh at your own expense, I see? I think you're making me delirious. He stuck out his hand. So, you in? I crossed my arms instead of taking it. What choice do I have? Well, you could always have him change your tire. He gestured to a large and scary-looking man who seemed to be watching us. This guy looked like Herman Munster in the flesh. Letting out a deep breath, I conceded. I'm in. Just get me out of here. I thought you might say that. Please tell me you have a spare. Yeah, but I have to move some of my boxes so you can get to it. He started to crack up when he got a load of the situation inside my trunk. Damn, what the hell is all this crap? I looked into his eyes and answered honestly. My entire life. I temporarily piled the contents of the trunk onto the pavement. He got the spare out and immediately got to work. As he was changing the tire, his white t-shirt rode up, exposing his tanned, rock-hard abs and a thin trail of hair that ran into his underwear line. Unwanted tension built between my legs. I needed a distraction, so I walked over to his bike and sat on it, gripping the handles and imagining what it would be like to ride in the wind. But all I could envision now was him in front of me, and that wasn't helping. He slid his body from under my car. Be careful, little girl, that's not a toy. I hopped off and ran my finger along the letters emblazoned on the saddlebags. What's CB stand for, anyway? Those are my initials. Let me guess. Cocky bastard. See, I would have told you my name, but since you're so clever, I think I'll just let you guess. Whatever, cocky. He lay back down on the ground. I'm just tightening up these nuts and we'll be ready to go. Nuts? Lug nuts. On the wheel, dirty girl. Oh. Hopping up, he lifted his shirt and used it to wipe his forehead. All set. Damn. That was quick. Are you sure it's on right? I've got a few screws loose, darling, as you'll soon find out, but none of them are on your wheel. He winked, and for the first time, I noticed his dimples. We should probably stop tomorrow and get a new tire put on. This spare is really not meant for long-term use. Tomorrow. Wow. This was really happening. We should get going, I said. I'll drive. I need to be in control of this situation. Whatever you want, he said. I could feel the tension in my neck as I backed out of the spot. This was going to be very interesting, to say the least. He wasted no time digging into my chicken bites. I playfully slapped his hand. Hey, lay off my food. Honey mustard? I prefer barbecue. He licked his thumb, and I swore at myself for getting turned on a little. This was going to be a long ride. He smirked and lifted the plastic bag from the souvenir shop.
Did you even open it?
No. What's the point? It's just a broken bobblehead. Handing it to me, he said, Is it? With one hand on the steering wheel, I took out the bobblehead, which was in one piece. What the? How did you? You seemed to like it, so I paid for the other and bought you a different one. You were too busy looking through your purse to notice. I couldn't help but smile and shook my head. Well, what do you know? A genuine smile. He held out his hand. Here, gimme. When I handed it to him, he took an adhesive strip off the bottom and stuck it to the dash. Obama's head was now bopping up and down with every movement of the car. I broke out in laughter at the ridiculousness, but couldn't help the warm feeling that came over me with that sweet gesture. Maybe he wasn't really a bastard at all. We were quiet for a while as he lay his head back and shut his eyes. Somewhere along I-76, after the sun set into a bright orange glow that illuminated the horizon in the distance, he turned to me. His voice was groggy. I'm Chance. After several seconds of silence, I said, Aubrey. Aubrey, he repeated in a breathy whisper, seeming to contemplate my name before closing his eyes again and turning his head away. Chance. Chapter 2.
You just gonna keep letting that go to voicemail?
He narrowed his eyes on my cell phone buzzing on the top of the center console. The damn thing was going off every half hour or so, but now the break between calls had shortened to 10 minutes. Yep. It stopped dancing around, and I offered no further explanation. I'd thought maybe he'd let it go. Of course, he didn't. 5 minutes later, it buzzed again, and Chance grabbed it before I realized what he was doing. Harry's calling. He dangled my phone between his thumb and pointer, swinging it back and forth until I snatched it out of his hand. It's Harrison, and it's none of your business.
It's a long ride, Princess. You know we're going to talk about it eventually.
Trust me, we won't.
We'll see.
Only a few more minutes passed, and my phone was at it yet again. Before I could stop him, he had it in his hand once more. Only this time, he swiped and held it up to his mouth.
Hello?
My eyes bulged from my head. I almost swerved off the road, yet I sat there like a mute.
Harry, how's it going, mate?
The hint of Australian accent that lingered in the background was suddenly front and center. Harrison's voice rose through the cell, although I couldn't make out the words. I glanced over at Chance's cocky face. He shrugged at me, smiled, and leaned back into his seat, quite enjoying himself. At that moment, I decided our little road trip was over. As soon as we got to the next exit, his ass was getting kicked to the curb. That perfectly round mass of muscle could walk through bumfuck Nebraska for all I cared.
Yeah, sure, she's here. But we're kinda busy right now.
I heard the next question loud and clear. Chance pulled the receiver away from his ear as Harrison roared,
Who the fuck is this?
Name's Chance. Chance Bateman. Some of my friends call me Cocky, he said with the perfect melody of intonation that I visualized causing the vein in Harrison's throat to throb a deep shade of purple. put Aubrey on the fucking phone. Each word was a short staccato burst of anger. Suddenly, I was no longer mad at Chance for answering the phone. I was livid that Harrison had the audacity to be angry at what I was doing. No can do, Harry. She's indisposed at the moment. Another growl of expletives came through the phone. Listen, Harry, I'm going to tell you this man to man, because you sound like a good chap. Aubrey's been avoiding your calls to be polite. The truth is, she just doesn't want to talk to you. My anger was rapidly bouncing between the two men. Yet, Aubrey, I wanted to strangle Chance, although, at the same time, I really wanted him to say my name again. What in the hell was wrong with me? I missed Harrison's response, busy replaying the sound of my name spoken with an Australian accent. The way it rolled off that cocky bastard's tongue made my belly do a little flutter. I might have had a momentary lapse in time as I imagined it being whispered in my ear with a throaty strain. Aubrey. I blinked myself back to reality as Chance released an exaggerated sigh into the phone. Okay then, Harry. But you're going to need to stop now. We're taking a nice long trip, and your constant buzzing is getting our girl's knickers in a twist. So be a good mate and knock off the interruptions for a while, yeah? Our girl. That vein had to be ready to explode in Harrison's neck. Chance didn't wait for a response before disconnecting the call. For a full 5 minutes, neither of us said a word. He must have been expecting the tirade to come. You're not going to lay into me about my chat with Harry? My knuckles turned white on the steering wheel. I'm processing. Processing? His voice was almost amused. Yes, processing. What the hell does that mean? It means I don't say the first thing that comes to my mind. Unlike some people, I think about what I'm feeling and verbalize it appropriately. You filter shit. I do not. Yes, you do. If you're pissed off, say it. Scream it if you have to. But bitch once and get it over with. And stop being a bitch all the time. The road was pretty barren, so it wasn't hard to slam on the brakes and pull over to the side of the road. I crossed 3 lanes and jerked to a stop. It was dark, the only light from my headlights and the occasional car passing. I got out and walked to the passenger side of the car and waited for him to join me. Hands on my hips. You have a lot of nerve. I save your ass at the rest stop and you proceed to get in my car, eat half my food, change my radio station, and then, to top it off, you answer my phone. He folded his arms over his chest. You didn't save my ass. I ate one popcorn chicken. Your taste in music sucks. And Harry, with the stick up his ass, was upsetting you. I glared at him. He glared right back. Oh, my God. The light from a passing car hit his face, and there it was. Number 13. His angry eyes were exactly the color of number 13. I used to have to peel the paper off Cadet Blue in the Crayola 64-pack before the other crayons had even lost their points. I liked it so much, it wasn't just the color I'd shaded the sky. There was a whole year of my life when all the faces in my coloring books were that beautiful blue with a mysterious touch of gray. I'd never seen the color in real life on anything, especially not eyes. I was half gone, and then he took the other half. Aubrey, he stepped forward. Aubrey, damn him. I didn't say a word. I was busy, processing. I was trying to help. Harry needed that. I don't know who he is to you, but whoever he is, he's obviously done you wrong. And you don't want to hear his apologies anymore. They're bullshit, and you know it. Let him stew on the thought of you taking a trip with another man for a while. Woman like you, he should know men would be circling. Shouldn't need reminding. Woman like me? I tried to keep up the facade of being pissed off, but I just wasn't feeling it anymore.
Well, don't touch my phone again.
Yes, ma'am. I nodded, needing to feel some sense of victory. I couldn't just let go of my anger because he had a sexy voice and number 13 eyes. Could I?
How about I drive for a while?
My night vision wasn't great to begin with, and I was starting to get a little blurry-eyed.
Okay.
He opened the passenger side door and waited for me to get in, then closed it and jogged around to the other side. Before slipping into the driver's seat, he bent down and picked something up from the street, dropping it into his bag in the back before adjusting the seat where he wanted it.
What did you pick up?
Nothing. He blew off my question.
Driver picks the music.
We pulled away from the curb.
You changed the station every 5 minutes while I was driving.
He shrugged and smiled.
It's a new rule.
Being in the passenger seat gave me an opportunity to study him. God, those dimples were deep, and the bit of stubble starting to shadow his chiseled jaw worked for me. Really worked. There was a good chance he'd be driving an awful lot. 3 hours later, it was almost midnight when we decided to stop for the day. We'd made it as far as I'd planned, even with having to waste a few hours getting a new tire. The woman at the reception desk of the hotel was busy playing a game on her phone and barely looked up at us when we approached.
"We'd like a room for tonight, please," Chance said.
"Two rooms, please," I clarified.
"What? I was going to get one with two beds."
"I am not sharing a room with you."
He shrugged.
"Suit yourself,"
and turned his attention back to the front desk clerk. "She's afraid if we room together, she won't be able to keep her hands off me." He winked at her. She had dark skin, but I could see her blush anyway. I rolled my eyes, too tired to fight with him again, and spoke to the clerk.
"Can you make my room facing west, not on the ground floor, and an even number, if possible?"
"I'd like mine with a bed, toilet, and television, if that's possible." He grinned, baiting me.
"I can give you rooms 217 and 218. They're right next to each other."
"Perfect. She likes to be close to me."
I wasn't sure if his egomaniacal sense of humor was growing on me, or if I was just slap-happy from so many hours in the car, but I actually laughed a little. He looked pleased. The clerk handed us our keys along with a warm chocolate chip cookie each. On our way to the elevator, I offered him mine.
"Want my cookie? I'm not going to eat it."
"Sure, I'll eat you."
"What did you just say?"
"I said I'd eat yours."
I really needed to get some sleep, and perhaps a nice cold shower.
He toted both our overnight bags to our rooms, and it wasn't lost on me that he let me in and out of the elevator before him. Cocky bastard had manners to go with his arrogance.
"Night, princess."
"Night, Cocky."
I was glad he didn't say my name. I was bothered enough just sleeping next door to him.
15 minutes later, I'd completed my bedtime ritual and slipped into bed. I took a deep breath in and out and let myself sink into the softness of the mattress. A knock at the door made me jump. With a huff, I got out of bed and stood on my tiptoes to look out the peephole. Why were those things always so high on the door anyway? I was surprised to find no one standing on the other side. Maybe I'd imagined it. Another knock. I flicked on the lights. The sound wasn't coming from the entrance door. It was coming from an interior door I hadn't even noticed before. Chance's door. I unfastened the top lock and cracked it open just enough so I could see what he wanted. And there he stood, shirtless, wearing only dark gray boxer briefs that hugged him like a second skin. It took me a minute to understand what he was doing there, even though he was holding up a toothbrush in question. I thought we had established I wasn't a serial killer already. I opened the door wider. He smiled.
"Oh, Lord. Stop that. Right now."
"I must have left my toothpaste in my saddlebag in the car."
I swallowed hard.
"Uh-huh." He cocked his head to the side, and his brows dipped in.
Can I borrow yours?
Oh, yeah, sure. He walked past me and let himself into my bathroom. I waited at the door.
You got an awful lot of girly crap in here for one night,
he said with a jumbled mouthful of toothpaste from the bathroom. Private collection Tuberose Gardenia. He was reading my Estee Lauder perfume bottle. I heard him rinse and spit. Then there was a gargling sound. He used my mouthwash, too. Sure, help yourself. He walked out and flicked off the bathroom light.
Is Tuberose a rose?
I shook my head, still confused by the whole situation going on.
That's why, he murmured.
Why what?
I couldn't figure out what you smelled like all day. Not sure I ever smelled a tuberose before.
He shrugged and walked back into his room, but not before turning back. Even those black lacy underwear smell like tuberose. My eyes bulged. I'd taken off my bra and panties and left them on the bathroom counter.
You...
Relax, I'm teasing. Do I look like an underwear sniffer to you?
Yes.
No.
Maybe?
Night, Aubrey. He graced me with a dimple and disappeared.
Aubrey.
Damn him. I locked the door and checked it twice, unclear if it was for my safety or his. His voice saying my name was on audio replay inside my head, getting softer and softer like a soothing lullaby with each breath as I drifted off to dreamland. Until the knock came again. I think I might have actually fallen asleep for all of 3 seconds before getting up to open the door again.
Wanna watch a movie?
My room was pitch dark. He had every light in his room on. It took my eyes a minute to adjust, and when they did, they focused right on his underwear. Instead of saying no and shutting the door, I argued with him. Again. I'm not watching a movie with you in your underwear. He looked down and back up at me.
What? It's not like I have an erection.
My eyes widened at the inappropriateness of his comment, but then I started picturing him in his ridiculously tight underwear with an erection. Suddenly, I had no place to look. If I looked down, I was staring at his package. If I looked up at him, he'd surely see what I was thinking. He chuckled.
I'll put shorts on.
I had no idea why I was even negotiating when I really had no desire to watch a movie. He disappeared and came back a minute later with a pair of loose-hanging shorts. I could still see the rim of his Calvin Klein underwear band sticking out, and now that there were no tight undies to focus on, I realized the shorts actually made it worse. They hung from the valley on his narrow hips where a deep V was carved. Covering up his tight buns only left me to pay more attention to the details of his chest and his ridiculous abs.
Your turn, he said.
My eyes asked for clarification. If I can't be in my underwear, you have to change out of that nightshirt. What's wrong with my shirt? My voice was defensive. His eyes dropped to my chest, and the corners of his lips curled to a delicious, wicked grin.
Nothing at all.
By all means, keep it on. I looked down, having forgotten that I was wearing a thin white t-shirt with no bra. My nipples were standing at full attention, trying to pierce through the sheer fabric. We argued over what to rent for 20 minutes before deciding on a horror movie I didn't really want to watch. 5 minutes later, wearing a sweatshirt over my nightshirt, I fell asleep with Chance sitting on the twin bed next to me. The next morning, he was back in his own room when I woke up, the interconnecting doors left open on both sides. I overheard him on his phone, telling someone his plans for the day. Clearly, the entire day of activities was a lie, since I was pretty sure he wouldn't be staying within Los Angeles County all day. Chapter 3 We decided to stop at a diner down the road from the hotel for some breakfast. I placed my drink order first. I'll have a non-fat 3-pump vanilla latte, low foam and extra hot. Chance squinted his eyes at me and turned to the waitress. Did you get all that? She'll have a hot 2-pump chump with extra cream. Bertha, as her name tag indicated, didn't look a bit amused. We just have coffee, decaf or regular, she said monotonously, holding a carafe. I'll take a black coffee then. Make it 2, he said. She poured it into our cups. I'll be back to take your order. Chance was laughing at me as he shook a sugar packet. I crossed my arms. What's so funny?
You.
What about me?
Did you really think you could order your frou-frou drink in a place like this?
Who doesn't have lattes? Even McDonald's has them. We'll get you a latte and a Happy Meal for dinner then, with a little toy inside. Will that make you happy?
Shaking my head, I perused the menu. There was nothing here that I could eat. Everything is so greasy.
Bacon. A little fat once in a while won't kill you. I've already had my monthly allowance of fat, the chicken bites from yesterday.
Monthly allowance?
Yes, 1 cheat meal a month, I sighed. There is not one healthy thing on here. I seriously don't know what to get.
No worries, I'll load it for you.
What? No.
Chance lifted his finger. Bertha, babe, we're ready over here.
God, he even had the ability to make that mean waitress blush.
What'll it be?
He pointed to the menu. I'll have this dish you call hot attack on a platter. She's just gonna have an order of plain rye toast. Hold the butter.
Coming right up.
All I'm going to be having is dry toast?
No,
you'll be eating off my plate in no time. You just haven't realized it yet. The toast is merely my way of showing you that you don't really want the things you say you do. And many of the things you deem bad are really those that, deep down, you want the most.
Oh, really?
I see through you. The harder you try to be good, the more you're starving to be bad. Not only are you going to eat some of my greasy food, but you're going to eat it with my cock sauce all over it and love it.
Excuse me, you're what?
Chance bent his head back in laughter before unzipping the pocket to his jacket. He slammed a small plastic bottle down on the table. It had a rooster on the front.
Cock sauce,
also known as sriracha, a Thai chili sauce. I never travel anywhere without it. Bertha brought over an oval plate piled high with scrambled eggs, home fries, sausage links, bacon, Canadian ham, and corned beef hash. She placed it in front of Chance before handing me the small plate of toast. He wasted no time squirting lines of the red sauce across the top of his food. He dug in, watching me as I looked at him. Staring him down, I crunched my toast in an exaggerated bite, determined to keep myself from wanting any of it. Admittedly, I was famished. To prevent myself from looking at the plate, I pried my eyes upward, focusing on his baseball cap. He'd bought it at the hotel gift shop and was wearing it backwards. It was a good look. Really worked for him with his hair sticking out of the sides. A ray of sun streamed through the window of our booth, accentuating number 13 blue again. Damn. His voice snapped me out of my thoughts.
You know you want it, Aubrey.
Huh? Did he catch me checking him out, or was he talking about the food? He cut a sausage link in half and attempted to feed me with his fork as he flashed a sexy smirk.
Come on. Just one piece.
It smelled spicy and delicious. Unable to resist, I opened my mouth and let him feed it to me. I said as I chewed the juicy link slowly, closing my eyes and savoring every bite. When I opened my lids, Chance's gaze was fixated on my lips.
You want more? He whispered huskily.
Saliva gathered in my mouth.
Yes.
This time, he lifted a piece of bacon and fed it to me from his hand. I hated to admit it, but he was right about that sauce. It was so good on everything.
More?
I licked my lips. Yeah. Chance fed me 3 more bites. When I let out a moan, he dropped his fork and it made a loud clanking sound. Jesus Christ, the food is good, but it's not that good. My mouth was disgustingly full.
What do you mean?
When was the last time you were really good and rooted?
Rooted? What?
Fucked, princess. When was the last time you were properly fucked?
What does that have to do with anything?
There is no way you could possibly have that kind of reaction to food unless you were completely hard up. He wiggled his brows. Prince Harry didn't quite do it for you, did he? That's none of your business. Your face is turning redder than this sauce. Chance leaned in and whispered, Aubrey, when was the last time you had an orgasm during sex?
It doesn't matter.
His tone became more insistent. How long has it been?
College, I practically coughed out. What the hell did I just admit? I can't believe I just told you that. Now I'm embarrassed.
He let out a deep breath. Don't be. But I'm not gonna lie. I'm truly shocked. A woman like you should be with a man that knows what he's doing.
Why do you care? You keep saying that, a woman like me. I didn't even think you liked me very much.
Chance leaned back in the booth and glanced out the window before looking me in the eyes. As much as you're a pain in my ass, I do like you, Aubrey. You're funny. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny. You're conscientious. You're quick-witted. You're smart. You're damn cute. He looked down almost to stop himself from going any further.
What happened, anyway?
With what? Why are you running from that tool, Harrison? When I hesitated, he flagged down Bertha. Can we have more coffee, please, gorgeous? I didn't know what came over me. Maybe it was the hot sauce. A part of me just wanted to let it all out. After Bertha poured 2 fresh mugs, I started to open up to him. Harrison was a partner at the law firm I worked at back in Chicago. I was an associate. Patent and trademark law. He and I were a couple for a little over a year. We'd moved in together. About 2 months ago, I found out he was cheating on me with one of his interns. So, yeah.
So you moved out?
Yeah, I also left my job. Harrison has spent every day of the past several weeks trying to convince me that I'm making a mistake, that I'm throwing away my career because he would have made me partner sooner than I could do it on my own. I left everything behind, took the first position I got, which happened to be at a small startup firm in Temecula. I'm scared. I don't know anyone out west, and I don't know if I'm making the right decision. I'm not even sure if being a lawyer is what I even want anymore. I feel very lost. Admitting that last part made me start to tear up a little. Chance's eyes held a serious intensity that I hadn't previously seen from him. What are you passionate about, princess? Thinking for a bit, there was only one thing that really came to mind. I let out a nervous laugh. Not much, except animals. I love anything to do with them. I'd wanted to be a vet, but my father was a lawyer, and he pressured me to follow in his footsteps.
You probably feel like you relate to them better than humans, huh?
Sometimes I feel that way, yes. He scratched his chin and smiled.
You'll find your way. You will. The shit that happened back in Chicago is still too fresh for you to think straight. When you get out to California, the change of environment will do you good. You can take your time, look inside yourself, and decide what it is you really want. Then make a plan to get there. You are in control of your destiny. Except in the next 24 hours. I'm in control of it for now.
He winked and flashed a devious smile. You're stuck with me, whether you like it or not.
I guess I am.
I smiled. This guy was starting to grow on me, and that was making me really uneasy. I didn't even know anything about him. Your turn. Who are you, Chance Bateman? How long have you been in the U.S.?
I was born here, actually. I'm a citizen. I moved to Australia when I was 5. My father was recruited into professional soccer in Australia to play and eventually coach. I grew up in that world.
That's really cool.
It was for a while. Until it wasn't anymore.
He swallowed, his expression turning sullen.
What do you mean?
It's a bit of a long story. My phone rang, interrupting the conversation. It was Harrison. Shit, shit, shit. I flipped it around to show Chance the caller ID. He took it from my grasp and answered,
"Harry, you wanker!"
Harrison's voice was muffled. Put Aubrey on the phone.
"Aubrey and I were just talking about you. We're out to brekkie, and she picks up one of these tiny sausage links and says, 'See this here? This is just about Harry's size.'"
He sounded irate through the phone. "You fucking asshole. Tell Aubrey if she's taking up with trash like you..." Chance hung up the phone.
"Ready to go?"
That was awesome. I high-fived him after he lifted his hand. "Yeah, I'm ready."
"Bye, Bertha."
Chance winked at our waitress.
"Bye, hot stuff."
Rolling my eyes, I shook my head in laughter as I followed his hot ass out the door. It was a beautiful, clear afternoon. I told Chance I wanted to drive this round. In all honesty, I needed a break from staring at his eyes and stubble for a while. My unwanted attraction to him was really starting to make me uncomfortable. Having control of the radio was also a plus to being in the driver's seat.
"Michael Bolton? Really, princess? You gonna make me sit through this?"
"What? He's good. His voice is hearty, robust." Chance started singing loudly over the lyrics to "When a Man Loves a Woman." He sounded horrible. The impromptu duet between Chance and Michael was enough to make me switch to another song. Soon after, we stopped for gas, and Chance went inside the mini-mart to get us some snacks after he finished pumping my fuel. When he re-entered the car with a large paper bag, I looked over at him and froze just as I was about to turn the ignition. He had powder under his nose. Shit, was he a cokehead? Had he gone to the bathroom to snort it?
"Are you gonna stop the car sometime today?"
he chided. My breath became labored as I geared myself up for a major disappointment.
"Tell me the truth."
"All right. Were you doing drugs in the bathroom?" His eyes darkened.
"What the fuck?"
He was angry.
"Why would you ask me that?
You have powder under your nose." He closed his eyes and suddenly erupted in laughter that lasted for at least a minute. He'd never laughed so hard in the time I'd known him. Chance kept trying to speak, but would keep losing it, having to clutch his chest. He looked at himself in the sun visor mirror and swiped the powder from above his lip. Practically shoving his finger into my mouth, he said, "Taste." I pushed it away.
"No!
Taste!" I hesitantly ran the tip of my tongue along his finger. It tasted like grape Kool-Aid or something. "It's sweet." He opened the paper bag and took out one of those pixie sticks with powdered sugar inside and threw it at me.
"Your cocaine, madam."
Relief washed over me. I also felt stupid.
"Pixie sticks? You like these?"
"I love them, actually. That's pure sugar. I haven't eaten one of these since I was a kid. They were all out of Fun Dip, so these had to do." He looked down. "I can't believe you thought I was snorting coke. I'm not perfect by any means, but I've never done drugs in my life." Chance looked seriously hurt by my assumption. I still hadn't started the car. "I'm sorry for jumping to conclusions. It's just, I don't really know you."
"So, get to know me," he said softly. We were silent for a while before I spoke. Why are you headed to California? I live there. I knew what I really wanted to ask, but wasn't sure why it mattered so much. My heart started to pound. Who were you talking to on the phone this morning? He looked startled by my question.
What?
I overheard your conversation from my room. You were telling someone your plans for the day. You lied and said you were in Los Angeles. It took him a while to answer. It's complicated, Aubrey. Then he seemed to shut down and turn toward the window.
Well, this was a good conversation. I'm glad I asked, I said bitterly as I started the car and took off toward the highway.
We sat in silence for a long while. Chance looked tense and kept sucking down the pixie sticks one by one. After about a half hour, I decided to break the ice.
How do you keep a body like that eating the way you do?
Is that your way of saying you like my body? You like what you see?
I didn't say that exactly.
Not exactly, but you implied it.
Jackass.
Lots and lots of sex, Aubrey. That's how I do it.
Really?
That's it?
No, I just wanted to see your face turn that pretty shade of pink it does when you're embarrassed.
He snickered. In answer to your question, I work out a lot, and I don't eat like this every day. But on road trips, all dietary rules go out the window. You need to be able to eat what you want to keep sane.
Well, from what I see, you're pretty insane, so it's not working.
He smiled at me, and I returned it. The aftermath of our tense conversation from earlier finally seemed to have faded away.
Give me one of the packages of pretzels, please.
He took one out of the paper bag and handed it to me, then looked behind his shoulder to my packed back seat.
What do you have in all these bags back here, anyway?
Don't touch my stuff. I bet there are some treasures in this junk that would tell me everything I ever needed to know about you. He started to blindly grab things out of my bags.
Oh, a book!
Happy Bitch, the Girlfriend's Straight-Up Guide to Losing the Baggage and Finding the Fun, Fabulous You Inside.
Put that back and don't touch that bag again.
All right, but what exactly are you hiding in this one that's so bad?
Shit. Chance kept digging.
What's this now?
Oh, no.
He pulled out my lifelike, flesh-toned vibrator.
Princess, is this a silicone cock in a bejeweled case?
No wonder why you didn't mind that Harry couldn't do it for you. You were taking it into your own hands and into your own...
Give me that! He took it out of the case.
Oh, this thing is pathetic. We could do a lot better than that.
Chance, seriously, I'm not joking. Hand it over now.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. We all pleasure ourselves.
The events that followed seemed to happen in quick succession. He kept waving the dildo around as I tried to grab it. A truck driver that noticed it honked at us. The car was swerving. Then I saw it. It was standing in the middle of the road with frightened eyes, frozen like a deer in headlights. I suddenly cut the wheel hard to the right, driving straight into an embankment, not knowing if I had killed him.
Chapter 4.
Is he breathing?
I held my own breath, hovering over Chance until I saw the rise and fall of its little stomach. It had shaggy long hair and was spotted like a cow, but its eyes bulged from its head more like a frog. The poor goat was only a baby, one I'd just raced into with my car while fighting over a damn vibrator. At first, I didn't think I'd actually hit him, but then I watched in horror as he fell straight over, all four legs standing straight up stiff like something out of a bad movie. Now we were both standing over him, waiting for something to happen, neither of us quite sure what to do. Without warning, the goat flipped himself and was suddenly standing on all four feet. Startled, we both jumped back. Chance's arms spanned wide as if to protect me from a killer beast.
The baby goat took a few cautious steps and then proceeded to walk directly into my BMW as if the 2-ton mass of steel wasn't even there.
Oh, my God, I must have hurt his head. Look how confused the poor thing is.
I reached out to touch the wounded animal, and Chance grabbed my arm, stopping me.
What are you doing?
I'm going to pick him up. Look at him. He's hurt. I ran him over.
I skirted around Chance and leaned down on one knee, extending my hand in peace to the sweet little goat. And it's all your fault.
My fault?
Yes, your fault. If you hadn't been distracting me, I would have been paying more attention to the road, and this would never have happened.
The goat nuzzled into my hand.
Oh, my God, look how cute he is.
I petted the top of his head, and he snuggled even closer.
It's not my fault. If you weren't so uptight about your sexuality, you would have been calm when I found your magic wand.
I stopped petting the goat's head.
I am not uptight about my sexuality.
Chance folded his arms across his chest. Admit that you pleasure yourself, then. I want to hear you say it.
I will do no such thing.
Uptight.
Pervert.
A pervert is someone who has sexual behavior that is wrong or unacceptable. That's your problem. You think pleasuring yourself is wrong. I find it perfectly acceptable. In fact, I rather like the thought of you using your little magic wand.
I was pretty sure my eyes resembled the poor goat's, bulging from my head.
Just then, a truck whizzed by us. One of those double trailers that always made me nervous to drive near. A whoosh of wind in its wake reminded me how close to the road we actually were.
Come on, it's dangerous out here, Chance said.
What are we going to do with Esmeralda?
Who?
Him.
I scratched my nails behind the goat's ear, and he made a low humming noise that sounded like he was saying, "Mom."
Let him go.
Chance waved his arm in the direction of the wooded area behind him.
Back where he came from. He's fine.
He's not fine.
Looks fine to me.
I think he has a head injury.
Chance shook his head. He's fine. Watch. He clapped his hands and made kissing sounds as if he were calling a dog.
Come on, buddy. This way.
Esmeralda made no effort to move, quite content with her head pressed against my chest and her body between my legs.
You need to let go of him. I'm not holding him here.
Not physically, but he's got his head buried between your cleavage and his body between your thighs. No male is going to walk away from that willfully.
See? Told you. Pervert.
Another truck flew past. This time he sat on his horn as he breezed by, and I went from squatting down to tumbling back onto my ass.
The goat, well, he took one step and fell over again.
All four legs stood straight up in the air.
I couldn't believe I'd damaged such an adorable baby goat.
See? He's hurt. We can't leave him here.
What do you expect us to do for him? Belt him into the backseat of the car and take him to a veterinarian for a full workup? 2 hours later, we were finally pulling off the highway in Sterling, Colorado, to take our passenger to the Sterling Animal Hospital. It had taken Chance nearly a half hour to unpack and repack the back of my car to make room. He wasn't happy about it.
Snowflake?
No.
It's from the children's book, Heidi.
Yes, I know.
You do?
What, you assume I'm uneducated because I don't walk around with a stick up my ass like your Harrison?
That's not what I meant.
Oh, yeah? So what made you assume I wouldn't know a classic literature story?
I don't know. You just don't seem like the type.
Well, maybe you should stop typecasting people. Not everyone fits into neat little compartments, you know.
We were both silent for a while, with only the woman's voice from my GPS interrupting occasionally to direct us to turn.
Mutton.
Excuse me?
For the goat. A name.
We are not naming him Mutton. That's sadistic.
We'd been arguing over names for the last hour or so. I favored names from Greek mythology or classic literature, whereas Chance wanted to name him one of the many dinners the poor baby could be turned into. We arrived at the animal hospital, pulling up to an open spot right in front of the door. I made Chance carry the little guy.